good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Vineyard. Would you stand as you're able? My name is Matt. I'm the worship pastor here, and together with Emma and the worship team, we want to invite you into a few minutes of singing, worship through song. And I want to open with this week's psalm from the lectionary. It's Psalm 34. And it says this: I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Let's lift our voices and sing together. Every song, we sing, every word we say, every melody, every note we play, every heart that's beating in this place, every hand that's lifted up in praise, it's all for you. Every setting sun, every sky ablaze, when a billion stars are on display, the universe declares your praise. It's all for you, Jesus. All for you, Jesus. it's all for you. Facing something in life that this feels untrue, that it feels like he has let you down. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to sing this not as a triumphant declaration, not as something that feels true. I want you to sing this as a prayer that Father, you could make this true again, that you would never let me down. The Psalms are filled with songs that are upset with God. And it gives us permission to come, our whole selves, our true selves, with our feelings, with what's really happening in life, to come to him with accusation, with anger. He's God, and he can take it. And so maybe this lyric rings a little bit more true for you as an accusation or as a desperate cry that feels impossible. Maybe you're on the mountaintop this morning and you want to declare this, and your voice can bring truth to brothers and sisters in Christ who need to hear it and they're unable to sing this line. But I just want us to all bring our hearts and bring our whole selves to this prayer that, God, you would never let us down. So let's sing it together, no matter where we're at, no matter the condition of our heart. Let's come to him with this lyric and hold it before him as a prayer.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Let's sing it out. You're never.
God, thank you that you are so present, even in the pit, even when we can't see you, can't see out. God, you are there and you are holding on. God, in the grief and in the joy, may our praise be loud.
Our praise surrounds your throne. As we join the heavenlies, singing worthy is the Lamb, a glimpse of what will be. So bring your rule and reign to heal and set us free. Your kingdom coming now, a glimpse of what will be, a glimpse of eternity.
God, we know that when your kingdom comes, there will be no pain, there will be no suffering. You will end all tears. And God, when we cry this out, Lord, when we say we want a glimpse of that, Lord, we want to taste that in advance, Lord, would you let your kingdom come? Would you let your will be done in this place, God? Just like in heaven, Lord, where everything reflects your heart and your desire, your rule and your reign, God. Your healing and your redemption. Father, your reconciliation, where you put everything broken back together again. God, would you bring us just a little glimpse of that this morning? Lord, that as we meet with you, that we would experience your rule and reign. And right now we turn to you, God, and we invite you to speak. Lord, we open ourselves to you. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way. In Jesus' name we pray and we cry out. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you can have a seat. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you're a middle school student, we want to send you to class right now. So our youth pastor, Chaz, is in the back waiting to take you across the hall. Everybody else, check out this short video.
After the resurrection, Jesus showed up to some of his followers on the road to Emmaus. He taught them how all the prophets, all the scriptures, and all the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. Their response was simple. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Let this be our prayer. Lord, open our eyes to see and make our hearts burn for you.
Morning, everybody. My name is Brista. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just want to extend to each one of you a really warm welcome. I'm really glad that you're here and worshiping with us. If you're on the live stream, welcome here. If you're a visitor, if this is your first time, we really are glad that you're here. You're here at our spiritual home with us, and we rejoice. We're grateful for that. So I just want to give a big congratulations to all of you, even if this is your first time, you have made it through the finish line. We are bursting through the finish line. We've come to the final sermon in our sermon series, Burning Hearts. It's been going all summer long, and it's been a wonderful series. It's really kind of worked us through the Old Testament, all of which points to Jesus. More than that, really, it informs us about who Jesus really is. You can't really understand the New Testament unless you understand the Old Testament. So that's what we've been doing all summer long. So this sermon this morning is about the summation of all that we've talked about. So the sermon should be just under 4 hours long. So buckle up and get ready because we're going to summate. Kidding. Just kidding. Actually, the summation is really short. The summation is really short. It's just one word. It's Jesus. It's all about him. That's what made the men's hearts burned when they were on the road to Emmaus. Remember, it says in Luke 24:27, says, so he began with Moses. This is Jesus. He's teaching them. He began with Moses and all the prophets and explained to them the things about himself throughout the whole Bible. That's the deal. It's all about him. The Bible is all about him. All creation is all about him. Our lives are all about him. So it makes sense that the final sermon that we have in this series is about Jesus. The title of the sermon is Jesus, Prophet, Priest, and King. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you're here. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Come upon us now as we look to your word. Lord, we're in a battle. God, come. Come point out what you want us to hear this morning about how you're a prophet, a priest, and a king. Lord, open our hearts now. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, prophet, priest, king. The purpose of this sermon is not really to prove from Scripture that Jesus is a prophet, a priest, and a king. He is. That's objectively true. He is a prophet, a priest, and a king, whether you believe in Jesus or not. That's what he is. The purpose of this sermon is really to call each one of us, myself included, to make Jesus our prophet, our priest, and our king. And you know, you don't really do that by striving, like working hard, like I'm gonna just knock out these quiet times in the morning, you know, or whatever it is. That's not how it's done. It happens when we surrender to him and we let him be our prophet. We let him be our priest. We let him be our king. We surrender to him. We die to ourselves. We receive from him. So let him be your prophet. Let him be your priest. Let him be your king. In my own life, I've just had some heart changes as I've tried to do this. Like, I'm just not naturally a real peaceful person. But as I've let Jesus be my prophet, I've heard one voice, not the cacophony of the many voices, right? The staticky noise of the culture, so many voices. No, one voice, and that one voice will give you peace. It's given me peace. I've become a more peaceful person. And you know, another thing that I'm not naturally kind to myself. I'm harsh with myself. But as I've let Jesus be my priest, I've received his mercy, and that mercy, as I've tasted his mercy and lived in his mercy, I've been able to be kind to myself, not harsh, kind to my family, kind to my friends, kind to my dog. I'm not naturally a person with a lot of gratitude, but as I've let Jesus be my king, you know, any good thing that's come my way, I've realized it's just sheer grace. It's from him. It's not because I've accomplished it. I've been on the throne and I'm the reason it's happened. No, it's sheer grace. And so it enables me to have gratitude. And so my hope for you is that you could have his peace. As we look at our scripture today, you could have peace. That you could have his kindness. That you could have gratitude. That's not in our culture. And sadly, in a lot of ways, it's not in our church culture. But as we let him be our prophet, priest, and king, that will happen. So let's dive in. First point, let Jesus be your prophet. Listen to him. This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. A prophet reveals God to people. That's what they do. They have a message from God, and they come, and what they're really doing is revealing God. So we've looked at lots of prophets this summer. Jeff preached out of Ezekiel and Hosea, and God was revealed through those prophets. Natalie spoke a couple weeks ago about Daniel. God was revealed in that vision out of Daniel. I preached a while ago on Isaiah. God was revealed as we looked at the suffering servant. That's what prophets do. They reveal God. Now, our culture says that a prophet is someone who foretells the future, kind of like a fortune cookie, maybe. You know, that's what they do. Or maybe, back up a little bit, maybe a prophet, you know, teaches on timeless truths, and those truths kind of guide us into the future. That's kind of a prophet. But you know what? Jesus does neither of those. And he's a prophet. If you went up to a first century Galilean and you said, hey, you know, this Jesus of Nazareth guy, who exactly is he? What is he? Prophet. They wouldn't even hesitate. Everyone knew he was a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet. His cousin, Jesus is a prophet. That's who he was. Jesus was a prophet. And what did Jesus do? He revealed God to people. Now, we don't have a problem with that, right? Nobody's arguing right now. Oh, I don't know if I believe that. Well, no, you know, whatever. Jesus is a prophet. That's not our problem. But we do have a big problem, and that's this. We don't listen to the prophet. We don't listen to him. And so I just want to say, listen. One word. Listen. Listen. Listen to him. I think that our experience is that we're distracted right now. In the church, we're distracted. Our culture certainly is distracted. And sadly, our church follows our culture a lot of times. And we're a little bit distracted. And we can really see the distraction in Peter when Jesus takes him up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is being transfigured. You know, his face is shining like the sun. His clothes are gleaming. He's having a conversation with the prophet Elijah and Moses, right? And they're talking. And Peter's completely distracted. Here he is in maybe one of the most powerful experiences of the weight of the glory of God, and he's completely distracted. He actually interrupts their conversation. Can you imagine? He interrupts their conversation. Says, hey guys, could I build three sort of structures for you? What? What is he talking about? And you know, he's like this kid who needs to be redirected by his teacher or something. So that's exactly what God the Father does. Before he even gets the words out of his mouth, this cloud comes over him, and this like this booming noise or voice or something comes, and he says, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So Peter's just being redirected, like, dude, what are you talking about? You know, you're missing the whole point. Doesn't that happen to us? We're missing his voice. His voice is sometimes faint, and we're not listening. Peter was not listening. We are not listening. Nikki Gumbel says, the sad history of God's people can be summed up in two words. Not listen. If you read the history of God's people, they did not listen. God sent a prophet. They did not listen. He sent another prophet. They did not listen. Sent more prophets. Did not listen. Finally, the consequence of that is that they found that they were living in a land where God wasn't. They were in exile. They exiled themselves. They were living in a land where God wasn't. And that happens to us. When we stop listening, we find that somehow we end up in this land where God isn't. We haven't experienced the presence of God in a long time. We haven't heard his voice. The Bible means nothing. We find ourselves in a land where God isn't. And when you find that that's the case, and it is the case. That is the case for us. Let's be honest. Let's turn back to him. Let's listen to him. Listen for his voice. The written word, the living word, God speaking through the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Let Jesus be your prophet. Listen to him. That's the first point. Second point is, let Jesus be your priest. Take his mercy. Accept his help. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all, but without the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I love that. I love that translation. What's a priest? Well, if you have a Catholic background, maybe you kind of know what a priest is. But what is a priest in the Old Testament? What was a priest in the Bible? Priests represented the people. That's what they did. Priests represented the people before God. So priests would take gifts and sacrifices for sin, and they would offer it up to God in the temple. And then God would give the priest his grace, and they would then offer it back to the people. So a priest, he had two things going on with the priests. That's sort of what their jobs were. Now, all priests belonged to a tribe, the tribe of Levi. It was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were called Levites. And what the Levites were in charge of was all of the sacrificial systems in the temple worship. That's what they did. They were kind of set apart. They were exempt from some things. They weren't allowed to own land and accumulate wealth because the Lord was their inheritance. You've heard of high priests. The first high priest was Aaron, Moses' brother. And all subsequent high priests were descendants of Aaron. What does this have to do with Jesus? Well, see, Jesus is the fulfillment of everything I just talked about. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the priestly activities. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was the greatest high priest. And the writer of Hebrews, for almost three full chapters in the very heart of the book of Hebrews, argues that Jesus was greater than all the high priests. That Jesus was greater than all the Levitical priests. Why? Why was he greater? Why was he better? It was right here. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. Not out of touch with our reality. This is what that means. He knows you. He gets you. He knows everything about you. He knows your reality. And what is our reality? We're a bunch of gomers. Remember from last week? We're all unfaithful. We're all unfaithful and really unfaithful. Remember last week? Jeff preached on the prophet Hosea, and Hosea was told by God to go marry a prostitute. Oh my gosh. Go marry a prostitute. An unfaithful woman. That's what he did. And her name was Gomer. She's unfaithful. And you know what? God knows our reality. We're unfaithful. And this is how he knows that we're what our reality is. He's been through weakness and testing. He experienced it all but the sin. See, God came from heaven in the form of Jesus. He came to earth, put on flesh, walked in our shoes, walked our walk. He lived our reality. He knows our reality. He experienced our weakness. He experienced our testing. He experienced our temptation, but he never sinned. He never yielded. He never did. And that is our high priest. The one who did all of that. He knows us, and that is our high priest. And what our high priest does is he takes all of that and he also takes of the perfect sacrifice, which is himself. And he offers it up to God. And what God gives is his mercy. God offers us his mercy. God offers us his help. And there's really no words for that. There's nothing to say. But this is what Scripture says to do now. What do we do now? What do we do with that? It says, so, let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give, which is his mercy. Other translations say, approach boldly the throne of God. See, that's what the high priest would do. Once a year, a high priest would approach the throne of God in the Holy of Holies, but only one year. But not now. You know what Jesus has done? He's opened it all up. He says, come all the time. Walk right up to him. Get what you need. And what we need is his mercy. What we need is his help. And so the scripture says, take the mercy. Accept the help. I love that. That's just so honest. That's what we need. We need his mercy. We need his help. Oh God, oh God, oh God. That's the best prayer you could pray. Pray. Help. God, have mercy on me. That's what Jesus, the priest, has done for us. So let him be your priest. Take the mercy. Accept the help. That's the second point. And then the last one is let Jesus be your king. Do what he's told you. If you love me, Jesus said, show it by doing what I've told you. We don't like to do what God's told us. We don't, right? We don't like to listen to him. And we don't like to take the mercy and accept the help. We want to do it ourselves. But we don't like to do what he's told us to do. And I think there's three reasons for that. The first is that we know best, right? We're on the throne. He isn't on the throne. We know the right way to do it, and we're just going to do it our way. And, you know, it's probably a control issue. Probably is, right? We're just trying to control our scenario. But we know what's best. The second reason that we don't like to do what we've been told by the Lord is that we've been hurt. Authority figures, parents mostly, but teachers, pastors, you know, they've abused us sometimes. And we just don't trust them. And that's another kind of control issue. We're hiding. And then the last reason we don't, I think, is we're just lost. Sometimes we're like Jonah. We're just lost. We don't know his ways. We're ignorant of his ways. And that's another kind of control issue, but it's a control issue. But this is the deal. The Christian life is about giving up our control. Remember, it's about surrendering. It's about giving up our control. It's about giving our control to him. And we know that, but we keep pulling it back, don't we? I do. And we just need to give it to him and do what he's told us to do. The guy who founded this church almost 40 years ago, Rick Olmsted, and most of you know Rick or remember Rick or have heard of Rick, he was really good at listening to God, and he was really good at accepting God's mercy, and he was really good at just doing what he was told to do. So, back in the day, back when this church was just being founded, and a little bit after that, Rick would travel with the head, the leader of the Vineyard, John Wimber, and they traveled all over the world, and they would pack the houses out. You know, they went to Wembley Stadium one time in London, and there were over 10,000 people there leaning into every word that John and Rick and a few others spoke. They went down to New Zealand one time, and my New Zealander friend said, it basically emptied out the country. I mean, all of the Christians went to hear John Wimber and Rick and a few others speak. And it must have been kind of a rush, you know. I mean, you're just, you know, you're living large, you know. They kind of would treat those guys as kings, and it had to be kind of cool. Well, one day, John came to Rick Olmsted and told him no. He said, go home, pastor your church. And that's what Rick did immediately. Never looked back. Left it all, came back, you know, little church, meeting in Blevins Junior High. You know, not that cool maybe, you know. But he did it immediately. And I wonder, like, how did you just give that up? And I think it's because Rick knew that God's choice for his life is always the best choice for his life, no matter what. And that's true for us too. God's choice for our life is always the best choice for our life. Always. Every time. And you know what? Sometimes we don't like where God has us. I've been there I don't know how many times, and I'm just complaining. I just don't like your choice, God. Oh, man. You know, I just got to go back to the drawing board. No, God's choice for my life is always the best choice for my life. We need to grab a hold of that truth and live it. Rick's heart had kind of a macro view of the whole of his life, and I'd say it this way, that Rick wanted God to get out of his life what God had purposed for his life. That's what we need to do. We need to let God get out of our life what he's purposed for our life. Because you have a purpose. And God has a plan for your life. And that's why it's so important to do what he's told you to do. Because it's the only way that God can get out of your life what he's purposed for your life. And you know what? We can look now. And if Rick had not done what God told him to do, you know, he would have probably spoken at a few more venues in the 1980s. But look what he left. He left us. A church that's known throughout Northern Colorado. I've never been to a place where they didn't know about the Vineyard in Northern Colorado. This church has ministered all over the world. And with Jeff and Natalie coming on and their team, we're going to do greater things as we do what he's told us to do. But this is the question. Is Jesus your king? Yeah, we know all the right answers, right? We know what to say. Oh, of course. But how do we know? Well, this is one test. Does he have the authority to tell you no and you still follow him? You still trust him? Have you given him the right to rule in your heart? Really? Let Jesus be your king. Do what he's told you. So this morning, what do you need to do? Do you need to listen? Do you need to take his mercy? Accept his help? Do you need to do what he's told you to do? Sometimes I don't know how to answer that last one. And I just have to go, well, what's the last thing he told me to do? I can usually remember that. What's the last thing he told me to do? John Wimber used to say, old light is good light. Remember some of you guys that have been around a while? Old light is good light. What do you need to do? Let Jesus be your prophet. Listen to him. Let Jesus be your priest. Take his mercy. Accept his help. Let Jesus be your king. Do what he's told you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your truth, that you tell us the truth. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that we could walk in your ways, not our ways. That we could experience your peace because you're our prophet. That we could experience your kindness because we've accepted your mercy and you're our priest. And that we could follow you all the days of our lives because you're our king. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now's our time of reflection. At the Vineyard, we always have a time where we reflect on what God's saying. I've just really felt that there's going to be something that God's really got on your plate to reflect on. So as the band plays, reflect on that, and then I'll be up in a couple of minutes. Thanks. We want to respond to him, and there are several ways that we can respond to him. You can give. There's giving boxes in the back. You can sing. You can go and get prayer from the prayer team that's in the back. Get what you need. Let's lift Jesus up and let's worship. Thank you.
darkness deepens. Oh Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. Thou on my head, in early youth did smile, and though rebellious and perverse meanwhile, thou hast not left me, though I oft left thee, on to close, Lord, abide with me. Heaven's morning breaks. shadows flee in life and death, Lord, abide with me. Yes, heaven's morning breaks and earth's shadows flee in life and death, Lord, abide.
Thanks for coming, everybody. You know, God has already put his peace and his kindness and his gratitude in your hearts. And that's what the world needs to see. So take that to the world as he sends you out into the highways and byways this week. Thanks for coming, everybody. Blessings on your heads. We'll see you next week.